Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Greg Thompson joins me on the Western Hotline. First and foremost, Greg, my dude, how are you, brother?
Not too bad. What's going on? Another delightful Saturday.
Well, you're not here in Buffalo, so you don't know that it's not actually that delightful currently because it's just absolutely pouring outside, but it's okay. I mean, it's delightful in the sense that you and I are getting to talk.
I like it. I'll take it.
So typically when I start to think or have to talk about the salary cap, I start thinking that, oh gosh, there's numbers. Oh gosh, there's math. Oh gosh, let me get somebody smarter to talk about this. So here's you. This is why you're here. You're here to talk about smart things that I don't know about. So what we're talking about today, Greg, is obviously with the NFL and the salary cap issues that are going to occur due to COVID and more importantly, the loss of revenue across the league in terms of in stadium revenue. Howard and I talked about this yesterday, Greg. I mean, just alone off in stadium revenue, we're looking at over $1 billion in losses. And one team in particular, the Dallas Cowboys, counts for this includes TV concessions, ticket. I'm sorry, no TV. It's ticket, concessions, parking, everything that wouldn't be including in stadium revenue. They're up to about $650 million in what could be potential losses for the Dallas Cowboys this year. So what in that are the NFL trying to do and explaining it to folks who might not fully understand the nuance, fourth time I've used that word on the show today, that the NFL salary cap ultimately is going to, what kind of changes is the league going to have to make in order to make this thing smooth on the books?
So I think the first step is to maybe take a slight step back and help fans see through a lens that we use the term salary cap very loosely. What the NFL actually has is a revenue sharing model. Now, that revenue sharing, you know, it gets haggled. It's gone from 47 to 48.5, 49.5. That was a big topic here in the latest CBA where, you know, they're close to 50-50. It's not quite 50-50, but it's actually a direct equation of football-related revenue that comes in each year. The owners get their 51.5%, the players get their 48.5%, and that 48.5% becomes a salary cap. But the salary cap isn't some arbitrarily agreed number that, hey, everybody gets to spend $200 million because we've decided to give you that money. It's a direct equation based off how much money they make. If you're $1 billion, let's use the exact number. If it's $1 billion, that's $31.2 million per team that you now have to figure out, hey, how do we make up for that number? I've seen some estimates and talking with some of the other guys at overthecap.com and spottrack.com. Some people project it from $40 to $70 million of a shortfall this coming year that would now come out of that number. What they're actually talking about is, and it seems Tom Pelissero is a reporter who's done a great job on this recently, it seems that there's pretty universal agreement that neither the NFL owners nor the NFLPA and their players want there to be a one-year plummet of the salary cap. That's not good for anybody. Anybody who's coming up on free agency, veterans whose deal would now have to get cut, and then they get cut and there's no money to sign anywhere else. No one wants that. The issue comes in how do we fix it? You mentioned the word smoothing. The NFL's initial proposal was that let's take 35% of this year's revenue, hide it away in escrow, everybody, they didn't really get into it, but everybody would basically now agree to take a one-third pay cut off of this year and we'll save it for next year. The NFL players countered with, we don't want any money in escrow. We want to save it for 9 years, take little bits off of each of the next 9 years, hide it into 2021 and spread it out that way. And they asked for all the guaranteed contracts to still get paid whether they play games or not. My guess is that it's somewhere in the middle where they take a little bit off of this year. I had, you know, guessed that it was 5 or 10% off this year and then spread it out over the next 4 or 5 years where everybody has heard there's a huge new TV deal coming where you throw Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and
streaming
all those
services
into play.
Right. Yeah.
So then it'll come into play where there is extra money coming. Everybody knows that. Let's take a little bit off of each of those next 4 or 5 years, see if we can combine that together and just hold the line that it's about $200 million again next year rather than drop into something crazy like $140 million.
So I guess the this is going to divert a little bit, then we can kind of return back to this part of the conversation. I think what interests and piques my interest in this conversation now kind of turns to fiscal responsibility, right? I think what we're going to see, Greg, is teams over the last few years, and maybe there's no better example of this than the Buffalo Bills, right? A team who took on some dead cap hits in the first season of this regime, are now in a healthy cap situation with guys that need to be signed here in the next several months and leading into next year as well. And then you look at a team like the Los Angeles Rams, who have recklessly spent money and then recklessly made, you know, roster cut decisions on players who have yet to even see that new contract. Therefore, you know, how much do you think of the last few years spending, and let's use the Rams and Bills as an example of two extremes in this case, like how much do you think this COVID situation is ultimately going to affect the well-being of franchises, and how much credit do you then want to give to a Brandon Bean, and maybe how much scorn do you want to get to a Les Snead? Obviously, nobody could have foreseen this coming. But you also can't just spend money recklessly without there being some sort of insurance or safe fail. And I think Los Angeles is maybe the glaring example of that.
You're spot on. And so first, my confidence that they're not going to let it plummet next year is because there are several teams that
that literally can't. Right. That, like, they can't let it.
I don't know if they could find an equation. I don't know if there is a scenario where they could survive. The Rams are a great one, but the Cowboys, the Falcons, the Vikings, there's several teams that there's no equation where they net out okay. So Brandon Bean's diligence and discipline and good financial decision-making would make it less painful than many teams, but every team would be crippled if they let it happen.
So, like, you know, if you're – I guess the next question has to be, well, how do you make a balanced playing field – if the cap were to go down, right, and it were to plummet, and teams like you just mentioned, Dallas, right? Some of these teams, Minnesota, right? These teams that would be very clearly over the cap. I would think it's got to be hard to say, well, we can't really penalize you because how could this have been foreseen? But also, we can't really go into the season with you guys having 20 more million in cap, in essentially cap spend than the next closest team. Like, how do you create the competitive balance in a situation that is so irregular but maybe so imperfect?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some creative solutions thrown out there. The NBA did an amnesty clause at one point that, hey, you could cut, each team could cut one contract and spread it out over 5 years rather than taking the dead cap hit all at once. You could have some flexibility where, you know, they're talking about the smoothing as an NFL league as a whole. Maybe they could offer each team that cushion to say, hey, each team has $70 million over the next 5 years in this fund. You can decide how much of that you want to pull out, but everybody gets to use the same fund. There's a couple things there. My guess is that they try to keep it consistent across the board so there's no manipulation, and that the NFLPA doesn't want 1 year's worth of players to take the brunt of this. They want to spread it out over, you know, a longer term so that you're not having just one group that, hey, you just happen to be the unlucky one that your contract year was coming up in 2021. Sorry, tough luck. They want to spread that out, and I think that's reasonable.
Host the Cover One Buffalo podcast, Greg Thompson here on the Westher Hotline. Greg, I started today by kind of having an open conversation with folks about, hey, like if you're a season ticket holder, and let's say that the Bills in New York State comes down with a very similar sentiment that the Baltimore Ravens did on Thursday, coming out and saying, listen, as of right now, we're going to be at 25% capacity. Pittsburgh has come out and said, whatever capacity we end up having, fans will be forced to wear masks. I guess, where do you sit on this? Because I think there's probably a fraction of people that say, listen, we're all adults. I had a caller, Sean, call and say, hey, you know, we're all adults. If we want to be out there, let us make that decision. We're adults. We can make that decision. Or do you sit in the camp of, listen, the NFL may not have a say in this at the end of the day, and we should allow our local and state governments who have a better, you know, finger on the pulse of public health, because that's at the end of the day what this is about, Greg. This isn't about whether or not you are safe sitting in a stadium. It's about the bigger picture. And I know it can be hard for people to sort of deduce it down to that, but like, that's where we are. This is a public health crisis, not a personal health crisis. So where do you stand on, you know, hey, I've said this too, Greg, that I think if you're looking at anywhere in the country in terms of the 32 NFL teams, there may not be a city that is more prepared to actually have fans in the stands than Buffalo because of the reduced numbers of infections. I mean, 1% of the positive tests, or 1% of the 63 or so thousand tests that were taken yesterday in New York State, 1% came back positive, and New York State counts for less than 1% of the entire positive rate of the country right now. Like, this is an area of the country that actually probably could have football games. Having said that, I don't know that we should.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. Again, I'm kind of a math nerd, so in my mind, it's hard for me to reconcile how significant of a difference there is between managing maybe 200 or 300 people in a facility between the two teams, the, you know, game day crew, the medical teams, and that's those 300 people versus, let's say it is 25% and you're talking 15,000 people. That's just such an enormous leap, and that I have always long held that I would rather see football with no fans than no football at all. And if there's a path to do that, I'm comfortable with that. Now, I'm also in a different group. I've lived away from Western New York for almost 20 years now. I get back for a game or two each year. A lot of times it's preseason during travel with family time. So I also am in that spot where I love the home field advantage that the Bills get, but I don't get a chance to be part of it all that often. So I get the passion from those season ticket holders and wanting to do that. I do think there's an element of sometimes we need people to save us from ourselves and to know that, hey, you might be okay, but you don't know who you're bringing it home to. I have a hard time finding a path where you're going to be able to keep that many people safe and then bring that home with 15,000 people not knowing if they're doing that. And more so, my fear is if that were to go the wrong way, and even if the risk is low, going the wrong way could mean football gets canceled. I'm not comfortable taking that leap. And it's probably selfish on my part that I'm putting football above things, but I do think that some of those kind of decisions, it'll come the same way with how we approach schools, how we approach restaurants, yeah, businesses that are in person. Sometimes we have to take the more safe approach to allow us to open back up and then ease into further ones. Maybe we can get to fans in the stands for the playoffs. Maybe that's the compromise.
Hey, man. You're a smart guy, and I always appreciate when I have you on so that you can educate me and everybody else that's listening. So we appreciate you coming on, talking some salary cap with us. Tell the folks where they can find your work and where they can listen to you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, man. Come on over, cover1.net. You can find me on Twitter, at Greg Thompsett, GregTompsett. Always having fun with Bills fans and going back and forth, answering questions and trying to be able to make some of the boring, complex parts of the football world a little more digestible and make it a little more palatable for people. So come on over, have some fun. Appreciate having me on as always. I hope you guys have an awesome day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.